Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 11th, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Just as Paul says, we prophesy in part and we see darkly through a glass, which means we don't see prophecy clearly. So, folks, we are a lot further on than most Western prophecy teachers tell you. But make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archive, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donation. In fact, we just throw it away. We don't keep your address. We put the envelope in another one, you know, send it back to you. We don't bother you for donations. The only place I bother you for donations is on radio. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of prophecyhourmessiahsbranch.com pages. So check it out, and then you can use it also for just a contact page. If there's something you want to ask me about, make sure you include your email with it so I can email you back. Okay, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. YouTube, it's live on YouTube right now, and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and so pray about it. We also want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Quito, Ecuador, Kampala, Uganda, Tehran, Iran, Westminster, London, United Kingdom, Athens, Greece, Moscow, and we all know where that's at, right? It's in Russia. Uh-oh, we're talking about the Russians. And, of course, cities in the good old USA, such as Buffalo, New York, Long Beach, California, Toledo, Ohio, Fort Worth, Texas, and Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. comes in second with my largest group of listeners to Wichita, Kansas, because, well, I don't know why they listen to me in Washington. All kinds of people speculate, but I imagine it's just people over there and not the federal government. And maybe if somebody really listens in the federal government, maybe they'll get saved. Understand the times we're in, you think? Anyway, now, listen, we did, after last week's program, or set of programs, over the next few days, we did read some donations from some new sources. And I really want to thank those folks, you know, and we do appreciate your support. And even the encouraging email that I got, a couple of them that told me about how they listen to the program all the time, and that's encouraging. But also, I want to have a special thank you tonight for Norway, because we received a donation of $1,000 from somebody in Norway. Of course, I won't say who. And so you folks over there in Norway, I pray the Lord gives you a special blessing. But he gives all of our listeners and all of our gracious supporters a special blessing for supporting this ministry by either a donation or by prayer or just listening and sharing the programs with others. So I want to thank all of you folks out there, not just the people that send in money, but you listeners also, because I want you to be informed and I want you to share with others and bless them with this program. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. He hadn't been on for maybe a couple of months, I don't know, but I really felt led to have him on. In fact, we are going to have him on for two programs tonight. Anyway, so let's start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will. So, Father, please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Steve Henderson. He has served the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, Steve has been called to the area of teaching prophecy. His ministry, the Sure Word of Prophecy, that's the Sure Word of Prophecy, has a mission to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach, and to provide an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. Praise the Father for that. In his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn to a saving faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen and amen. You can check out his website. That's at www.surewordprophecy.org. That's surewordprophecy.org. Well, and tonight he's here to speak with us about something he calls when the band plays, standing when the band plays. And I felt led to have him on for both programs, so welcome, Steve. Are you there with me?
Maranatha, Pastor Dan. It's a real joy for me to be back on Prophecy Hour. Boy, a lot's been moving and shaking here since the last talk, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I try to have you on every month, and I was looking at my schedule, and I said, wait a minute, you know, that's who's missing, Steve. And then tonight, I was just before the programs, you know, I run up to this little Quick Trip, like, general store thing, you know, to get me a tea before radio. And I was on my way back. I've been working on a program for the second part, but I felt led on the way back to ask you if you wanted to do both programs, because I know so many times that when we did a program, we got to the end and you didn't have enough time for your message. So I wanted to make sure that you got enough time for this message tonight.
Well, as the Lord leads, I'd be happy, brother, to just share what God has laid heavy on my heart, and hopefully I can contain it within 2 hours. If not, we can set up another time later on. But I'll speak as the Lord leads, and I'm very, very thankful and very humbled by your invitation, brother.
Well, amen. And there's something before we get into the program, what you have laid out. I wanted to point something out to you, because I know that you follow Iran very closely, and I'm just curious if you heard this. You know, recently, Putin had talks with Iran and also with Turkey about setting safe zones up in Syria. And if they do set up these safe zones in Syria to stop the violence over there, as they say it, that would put Iran, for their part, right on the Golan Heights. I thought that was pretty profound, considering.
Yes, absolutely. When you look at the ancient scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, and it talks about Persia at the end of time, we have to recognize that Persia has to be connected to something that's going to happen to the land of Israel. And I have, as you are well aware, when I first came on your program back in 2013, I began to talk about the book of Daniel and how I had discovered a couple decades ago that when I saw these folks in the news, I'd have to get out and get the word out. And now I'm happy to discover that there are some others and other prophecy teachers now that are jumping on board and discovering that possibly there may be something more to Daniel 8 than what they've discovered in the past in their historical application. And I'm thrilled to death that God is opening up the eyes of the prophecy teachers so that we can give the word out to make ready people for the great wedding supper. And I think that we look at Iran and how the scriptures identify them as getting to push around the Middle East and become a bully. Then the great horn that comes across from the west, a great nation is angry at this thing that Persia does, and it stomps on this ram and renders it powerless. And when that happens, that great horn breaks. And, oh, but
yeah.
That, then all heck breaks loose.
Well, you know, I'm with you. I have such a hard time with so many prophecy teachers in America because they look at it, you know, so much from a Western point of view without really looking at what names mean, and they substitute too many names. But
yes.
I'm glad to see that a lot are waking up, or they're starting to wake up, and I believe that's because of the time we're in, do you think?
No, absolutely. I think that as the book of Daniel becomes unsealed, those who are wise will understand and instruct many. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But I think that God is pouring out his spirit to those who have ears to hear and have hearts to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe that they are receiving additional light so that we can get prepared and get the things out of our lives we have to get out and get ready for this coming storm, relentless in its fury, that's going to hit the face of this earth.
Yeah, amen. All right, well, so this talk tonight, this really struck me as interesting. I went so much over so many times. It's one of my favorite stories, you know, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
And you compare it with standing when the band plays. That's quite a comparison, brother.
Yes, I believe that there is a day, and it's now, when we need to stand for what we believe in. We see the pieces being put together so rapidly, and we know that the test is coming. The scriptures clearly say that this test will come upon the whole world, and we have to make our minds up before the test comes. And that's why I like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they had already predetermined what they were going to say and what they were going to do. They didn't have to get in a holy huddle and sit around and say, well, what do you think we ought to do here, guys? They came with an immediate response, and it's because of that response I want to parallel that with that end-time people and what we should be looking at as far as the areas of conviction, conditioning, and compromise, and we'll deal with that as we go through this talk.
Well, amen. I can't wait to get started, but I got a comment on your holy huddle. That fits so many, and I won't really go into that, but that fits so much in the church today. But anyway, this sounds like a great message, so why don't you just go ahead, and I might interrupt you as we go along. We'll see.
Okay, brother. Well, let me first start out by saying I think that most of the prophecy enthusiasts have a pretty good handle on what they understand to be the signpost of Yeshua's return. And, you know, they're so obvious, neon flashing in your face signs, which are screaming that the Almighty is at the door. And Pastor Dan, you know, we know lawlessness is everywhere on this rock that we call Earth, and perilous times have arrived. And we know, we see it clearly, so we wait, we watch as we're commanded to, and then we are warned. And there should be no excuses, and everything is going to be laid bare out there in the open for our close examination here in the near future. And for us, you and I especially, we apprehend clearly that the prophetic word has been confirmed to us. And Peter says that we do well to keep focused and to take heed to it. It's the one light we have in this dark time that daybreak is on the horizon. Hallelujah. And Yeshua is not going to leave us orphanless here. He's going to send a spirit with the intent of showing us things to come. So, in my opinion, Pastor Dan, there's no reason for us to be caught off guard, brother. As it wasn't Messiah's first arrival, the Almighty will send a message before his coming the second time. And this worldwide message will go to the ends of the earth and prepare those who have ears to respond, and with a loud cry will go out to make their path straight. And it's time now, as far as I'm concerned, that we need to take these crooked things in our lives and make them straight. What do you think, bro?
Absolutely. Actually, I think it's past time. But they need to get that relationship and get all the junk out of your life. Focus on Yeshua. Back to you.
Well, I fear that many are going to come up this day in the body of believers caught off guard when the heat is turned up. And we know that as we scan the book of Revelation, the heat is going to be heated up seven times hotter than what it ever has been. And yet the warnings are scattered throughout the prophecies, and we have this sure word of prophecy that we can do well to take heed to. And the scripture says in the middle of the Revelation is a time that the battle begins to take place, and the end battle takes place. Yeshua says, keep watch. I am going to come unannounced like a thief. And you're blessed if you're awake and dressed and you're ready for me. But too bad if you're found running through the streets naked and ashamed. You know, we have the Bible, brother, to prepare us for this time. And if we follow the biblical admonitions, we won't be caught off with our pants down when the snare comes upon the whole earth suddenly. And we've been given the preserved biblical historical records of the faithful throughout the Old and New Testaments, written in unedited fashion to show the saints as what they can expect and what they will ultimately encounter by being faithful to Yahweh and his son Yeshua. Even though Yahweh has been a very present help in time of trouble to his set-apart people, they were ultimately brought into situations that stretched them to the uttermost. Some, in fact, were very, very severe. And, you know, brother, as we look at the real-life stories in Scripture, such as the testimony of Job, it becomes obvious that something bigger is going on in this battle between good and evil that we need to comprehend. And God is searching back and forth on his earth, looking to see if there's anyone loyal and faithful to stand up for his will. And example after example, the testament illustrates Yahweh's chosen had to endure something. If they didn't endure, they would succumb to extreme testing. And it was just part of their lot. And they were expected to stand and stay loyal to the one who was their sustainer and provider, rightfully so. And as I look at the sure word of prophecy, Pastor Dan, we must learn from the past experiences of the prophets and patriarchs in order to understand the depth of what we're going to encounter. It's all laid out in front of us, and there's a day coming soon when everything we consider to be normal will become unfastened and turned upside down. And we've been called to pick sides when the world goes out to exterminate Christians. And if you don't think that will happen, look around. It's already happening, brother. You just look at the world news, eh?
Yeah, amen. You're right on it.
You know, right now, Franklin Graham is holding a conference concerning the Summit of Defense of Persecuted Christians. And he said that the persecuted Christians are no longer limited to one nation or one area of the world. Today, the Christian faith is under attack in every corner of the globe. And as a result, Christians face persecution that is worldwide in scope. And thus fulfilling the prophecy that Yeshua said, he said, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And you know, when you see this stuff come to pass, it was written by the ancient writers, and here it is in your face. It just, in my opinion, just builds your faith up and helps you to understand that we are going to have to stand for something. If we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything. Amen?
Yeah, amen. And, you know, for the record, America has been added to the list of nations that persecute Christians. And the second thing I'd like to say about America also, as I pointed out some weeks ago, is that the fastest growing religion in America is not Islam, and it's not Christianity. It's Wicca or witchcraft. So that's where we're at.
Yes, I was reading an article yesterday, I believe, where Barna had given a survey out to a segment of Christians. And in the survey, 60% agreed with the New Age spirituality, and that's an amalgamation of Wicca and New Age, crystal balls, and, you know, all the other things, and they see no problem with it. Well, that's where we're going to get into this here in a few minutes, about compromise. And I believe that the church has compromised the point now, and it doesn't come in a very sudden event. It comes in a slow, protracted process where, you know, well, that's not so bad. You know, we can let these people in, and, you know, and you know, they do have some light, and they are gentle and kind, and they have a ray of life. So let's take the best they have and include it with us. And this is taking place all over the world in this massive interfaith movement that is taking place and standing in the forefront In fact, in 2018, Pastor Dan, they had this World Parliament of Religions getting together, and I mean, it's getting larger and larger, and when calamity happens, they are going to stand in the forefront, they're going to show us the way, and we're going to have a decision to make at this particular time, because they're going to step in, along with the world leaders, and say, hey, we have a plan here. So.
Yeah, amen. Interfaith is poison. Yeah, if you understood your Bible and the only way to the Father is through the Son, and you absolutely stood on that, you'd see why you're not supposed to be with the other things. Anyway,
yes.
Go on.
Well, we surely see it coming, and those have our eyes open. Well, I'd like to start out with the well-known story of the three faithful followers of the Most High God, because I believe this story will be identical to those who will encounter the soon-coming governmental system that will give you one of two options. Ultimately, the choice will be, brother, submit or die. And please allow me to briefly review the story and then move forward to some parallels that we need to comprehend as we apply these spiritual disciplines to our own lives in the near future.
Well, Steve, let me break in for a moment.
Sure.
Because, you know, we've only got like less than two minutes before break. I mean, we talked already a lot. So I didn't want you to get real started and then have me interrupt you in like 1 minute in. So let me throw something else out for you that you could probably answer within a short period of time. Did you last 2 weeks ago in South Africa, they had a prayer meeting there that had upwards of 1.5 million people that showed up in the middle of nowhere for a prayer meeting. You think you ever see anything like that in the West?
No, I'll tell you, where the West is waning in their spiritual life, there are some other countries that are coming alive. And even in Islam, Jesus, Yeshua is appearing to them in dreams and in signs and wonders. And there are a lot of people that are coming out of Islam. And that's a big thing. And there's a revival around a lot of places of the earth. But here in America, we're just dead as a doorknob.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing's going on in China. China in a few years is supposed to be the leading country for Christianity if we make it that far, but I don't think we'll make it as far as they're talking about. Okay,
yeah.
Why don't you give your website, and we'll come back, and when we come back, you're going to give the story, and if we run out of time, we have part two. Okay.
Okay. The website is surewordprophecy.org. And on there, if you like prophecy, there's a lot of things there that you would benefit from. I keep watch and I try to post articles on a daily basis. Sometimes I get too wrapped up, but I do have some videos on there. In fact, I'm getting ready to make 3 more videos that I plan on putting on there, hopefully by another month, that will deal with the end of things. And so go over there and get encouraged.
Okay, folks, we'll be back with Steve in his 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Rank Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, all sorts of things, and we really don't get any help from the organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us that we're getting ready to start our 18th year come June 1st. Yeah, we care and minister for people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. And I would question walking through it in the daylight even. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, that's because of love. You know, when people walk in the door, we give them love. We give them a relationship. They're treated as family. And beyond that, you know, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. And I always say, you know, the programs I have are radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we have a way to fill the need and we feel led to do it, we give it to them. But if we don't, then we try to pray it in, you know. And I say try because we don't. When we pray for things, it's not an absolute guarantee we're going to get the exact thing that we pray for in the exact manner. I believe the Father always answers our prayer. But, you know, let me give you a short example. A real short example is I look at maybe an electric bill, and I say, well, you know, Father, I got to have $300-some to pay that electric bill. Well, come time for it to be paid, the money doesn't come, but then somebody volunteers to pay it. So I didn't actually get the money. What I should have been praying for all along, instead of praying for the money to come to pay the bill, I should be praying for it just to be taken care of. And so the same way with coming to food, say, Father, I need $200 so I can go buy some meat at the grocery store. Well, the Father doesn't give me $200. Instead, somebody comes by or something and makes a donation of me. So, while I believe our prayers are always answered, they're not always answered in the exact way that we pray for. In fact, we should learn to pray, better in the generality of just asking for His will to be done. But anyway, so prayers get answered, miracle prayers. We've had people come from all over the country come to ask for prayers, and so not only that, all over the city we help the homeless and poor, which means that the poor are people that still have a roof over their head, that they still looking for food, Bibles, counseling, so on and so forth. So anyway, this is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online, or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Steve Henderson of the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. Are you still there with us, Steve?
I'm here, Brother Dan. Congratulations, 18 years. That's a long time to eat Republicans and sinners. I'm sure happy, Brother, that you're still blowing and going there and sowing seeds for the kingdom. And I just believe your harvest is going to be great, so keep up the good work.
Well, amen. I don't care about my harvest as long as I'm making a harvest for Him, you know.
Absolutely.
Planting seeds or doing whatever. I just want it for her.
Absolutely, Brother. Well, I've read in the scripture where it says that some of the stories in the Old Testament were things that happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And in other words, when I share this Old Testament story, these are all warning markers for us, danger, in our history books written down so we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. So don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God-confidence. And God-confidence is what these three young men had, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the story is found in Daniel chapter 3. It was all about control over the masses in the great Babylonian kingdom. And King Nebuchadnezzar had the big head. And he decided that you see this power and prominence and position that everyone seeks after, he had it all. And so he devised a plan after Daniel had articulated that he was a head of gold. He decided to make a golden image. And they got all of the players together, all of the musicians together, and they said, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a big band session here. And when the band begins to play, everyone will bow down and worship the image. And so he's trying to set up an institution, a religious institution of worship, as I see the same thing taking place at the book of Revelation. There will be a system set up, and we're going to have to predetermine beforehand that when the band plays, we're going to have to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted. As the band began to play, they found these three guys just standing around and stand out like sore thumbs. And I believe that will happen at the end. The people of Yahweh are going to stand out like sore thumbs, and they're going to be noted, and they're going to be looked upon as troublemakers. And I know that's what they probably looked at, these troublers in Babylon, who decided not to abide by the king's dictate. And when they came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, you know, you must not have heard what the king said, so we're going to give you a second chance. And they immediately said, you know what? Your threat means nothing to us. And if you throw us in a fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and everything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it would make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. So, of course, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he got purple in his face, and he decided to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the furnace to be fired up seven times hotter than usual. And he ordered some of the strong men from the army to tie up those precious believers and throw them into the roaring furnace. And they were bound hand and foot, fully dressed from head to toe, and were pitched in the roaring fire. And the king was in such a hurry, and the furnace so hot, the flames from the furnace killed the men who carried them into the furnace. While the fire raged around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, suddenly King Nebuchadnezzar looked up, jumped up, and in alarm he said, didn't we throw three men bound hand and foot into the fire? That's right, O king, they said. But look, I see four men walking around freely in the fire, completely unharmed, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar went to the door quickly of the roaring furnace and called for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the servants of the Most High, to come out. And they came out, walked out of the fire, and they came out cleaner than walking in a non-spoken restaurant. They came out with nothing but the bindings burnt off, with not a hair on their head singed. And all the important people and government leaders and king's counselors gathered around to examine them and discovered they hadn't as much as been touched with the scorch. And so Nebuchadnezzar then had to admit and humble himself and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. God saved them, brother, in the furnace, not from it. And Pastor Dan, there's going to be a furnace, as I was saying beforehand, heated up much, much hotter than what it is right now. And we're going to have to face these things in the final scenes just before Yeshua's return. And the scriptures are replete with evidence of the people of God going through extreme times of trial, and they're going to have to stand when the whole world is going to bow down to the beast. In the book of Daniel, chapter 11, for example, we find these statements, and I'd like to read it, Daniel 11, 33 through 35. It says, there will be people here who understand, and they will instruct many. But listen, yet for many days they will fall by sword, by flame, by captivity, and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, and many will join them by intrigue, and some of those understanding shall fall, listen, to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Now evidently, we are going to come up to this day when, in fact, there is going to be a major force against the believers of Yeshua. And there will be some who will understand, but I want you to note, they're not taken out of this earth and raptured up before this trouble happens, but they are going to fall by sword and flame and by captivity until the time of the end. They are going to be put in the fire and purified and to be refined until that time. And the book of Daniel also says that this persecuting power such as Nebuchadnezzar was, is going to make war with the saints and, listen, prevail against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Even though the tribulation comes, brother, we are going to possess the kingdom at the end. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen. And so let's be clear. The three in the furnace, they were saved because they were obedient to the Father in the worst of, you know, what they were being threatened with. I mean, come on, being thrown into a furnace that was so hot that the people that threw them in would burn up. I mean, that's great faith, but it's going to take that kind of great faith, is it not?
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's very, very evident that the conflict of the ages has all come down to this in a nutshell, brother. God has put out a law, okay? And in that law, encapsulated in the Big Ten, is a law of love. Loving your God with all your height, mind, soul, and strength. And then loving your neighbor as yourself. And on these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. But the adversary in the very beginning said, your law is unjust, it's unfair. And the whole bottom line of this whole conflict and what it's going to come down to is obedience versus compromise. Conviction versus compromise. And it's very clear that in this day, the Bible says that this beast power is going to destroy the mighty and holy people. And the power is going to be given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And you talk about a squeeze. You talk about a time when your faith is going to be tested. You talk about a fire that we're going to jump in until the time of the end, it says. And it's going to be like a pregnant woman who delivers a child. These birth pangs are going to get harder and more frequent. And the more that this world gets in a frenzy, as is going to happen, the more they're going to look at these troublemakers who are proclaiming judgment hour messages and a warning that they should be worshiping the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters, as found in the first angel's message of Revelation chapter 14. They're going to proclaim a gospel message, a good news message, in the face of a beast power who's gathered against the saints because they have formulated a plan to do something different. And here are these troublemakers saying, no, this is wrong, flat busted wrong, and I'm going to stand up as the whole world bows down to this making the image to the beast. Now, it says in the book of Daniel that there will be for a time, times and a half a time, when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, then all these things will be finished. So I don't think people really understand the enormity of what, even as we look, if we're honest, and we open up our eyes to get our head out of the sand, there are people getting their heads cut off every day for the faith all around this world. It's not just with Islam. It's with radical Hinduism, and it's with radical Chinese. And it, I mean, the whole world is, in this moment, turning against the saints of God. And you say, even here in America, brother, I believe that. It's very subtle at the moment, but I believe that when the crisis happens, when the great horn breaks and America falls, and this crisis happens, then we are going to face this time of extreme trial. And believe it, if the Bible says it's going to happen, we need to believe it, brother. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, just as Ashok, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they were kept in the midst of the fire. They were protected. That is how, you know, I hear so much, Steve, you know, radio over the years, people talking about, you know, well, jumping up and leaving America. And I'm not saying that maybe there isn't time for that. But, you know, I see so many people just leaving, you know, of their own accord. And, you know, in fact, one fellow that went to Puerto Rico, wrote books on the subject and everything. Well, he just recently passed away. And, you know, he was 70, he was almost 80 years old, so he lived a full life, okay? Mm-hmm. But my point is he spent so much time away from America that, you know, maybe he really didn't have to. And so I just want, so here's the strongest thing, I guess, I'm trying to say. It's that personal relationship that'll get you saved in the end. If you're supposed to leave, well, then the Father, you know, will tell you. The Holy Spirit, he'll tell you. You'll know that it's time to leave. But,
absolutely.
You know, by obedience, like these, Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego, the obedience to God and doing what's right and not bowing a knee of compromise is what I'll call it, because that's what they would have did. They would have been compromising if they would have bowed their knees, wouldn't they?
Yes, they surely would have, but they had a conviction. A conviction that obedience is better than sacrifice. And that when it comes to the being loyal to the Almighty, He has laid down the best for your life, and you stand up in that day when everyone else bows, and don't you defile God. God is looking for witnesses across His earth that are going to stand up and be obedient to His cause. And the whole conflict of the ages deals with the adversary saying, your laws are unjust, no one can keep your laws, and yet God will have a trophy case of people here in the coming soon years that are going to show beyond a shadow of doubt they obey God because they loved Him and they weren't coerced under any threats, and they went even to the grave. And there are these people that leave the country, and what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? And if the light is removed from the substance, then how are they going to understand? But the Scripture says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have snuck out the back door when they knew this was coming. Obviously, they had an idea it was coming because the decree went out. They could have snuck out of Babylon and split, you know. But why did Yeshua say, he that seeks to save his life will lose it, and he that seeks to lose his life will find it? And this is in the context of the end of the day's signs. And so very obviously, we're not called to scam, but we're called to stand up when everyone bows down, and this will be a witness to the world, as it was when the disciples went out and spread the gospel, when they were so determined to spread this good news, they were executed, and every time they were executed, a thousand came up in their place, and the devil began to get worried. He said, man, you know, every time we kill one of these guys because they stand up when everyone else bows, the people see that commitment that they made, and a thousand come up in their place. So what we're going to have to do now is we can't beat them, so we got to join them. And, you know, this is what I see. Not only are they going to lose their convictions, and they're going to compromise their positions because of the easy road. The Scripture very clearly says that the dragon is interested in attacking a certain group of people. And it says in Revelation 12 and verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, he sets up the machine of annihilation through a system that will try extinguishing the voice of warning. And the devil has entangled the whole world in sin against Yahweh, but there are these nonconformists who are troublers of the people. And these are they who are warning the world that the hour of judgment has indeed arrived. And these are the ones standing when the rest of the world are bowing out. When the devil can't put out the message, the devil puts the whore and her daughters together and gets the masses to drink of the wine of her fornication. The lockdown has arrived, and no one goes in or out. No one buys or sells. And the enraged angel inserts the authority heads in place while the whore rides the beast and is drunken by the blood of the saints. And there will be in those days, brothers, those people who stand up in this threat, who stands up in the threat of death and says, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, God we serve will rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, old beast. But if he doesn't, it don't make a bit of difference, you beast, you ugly-looking beast. We won't serve your gods or worship the beast or its image. Wow. Yes, Pastor Dan, the prophecy tell us the ones who stand upright in God's commandments will be the subject of extermination. And this fire, they will stand, regardless of the consequences. And the Revelator tells us that these courageous warriors of Yeshua will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they will not live their life to the death. You see, Yahweh has a kingdom, and Satan hates it. Bottom line. And Yahweh has set his laws in order. Go ahead.
Let me address the folks for a minute. You know, folks, I want to know, if you're in a church and you're hearing an end-time message like this, and your preacher actually stands up and preaches against sin and is warning you, just as Steve is warning you right now, send me an email and let me know, because I would really like to know that there's some churches of faith out there, because all I see is compromise, compromise, compromise. We did a program a couple of weeks ago where I showed you the statistics of all, it's in all of the churches, you know, all of the denominational churches anyway, about how they are compromising along with gay marriage and so on and so forth. And we just heard talk about compromising with Wicca, witchcraft. You cannot compromise on the word. So I want to know if any of you are in a church that's getting that message. Back to you, Steve. I'm sorry.
Well, that's exactly right, and there will be, as an angel illustrates in the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, there's going to be an angel with the earth enlightened with his glory, and the message will be, come out of her, my people, that you be been a partaker of her plagues, nor partaker of her sins, or receiver of her plagues. And this message is going to be a clear message straight from the throne of grace and mercy, and yet, at this time, God's cup of indignation has been filled up, and he's going to pour out, and he's going to let loose, as the angels are holding back the four winds. These four winds will be let loose, and it's going to come upon the great sea, and great turmoil is going to hit the earth, and they will truly recognize that the hour of judgment has indeed arrived. And the kings of the earth will be influenced by the master deceiver to set forth a decree at this time, and the people will be unpersuaded by the deceptive offer of security and prosperity, the ones who understand Yahweh. And like Esau, though, there will be a lot of them that will sell out their inheritance to keep their belly full, except for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Two groups at the final seat unfold, brother, the few and the many. The few, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those led by conviction that regardless of the severity of the penalties for going against the prevailing mandates of the beast, they will stand in favor of obeying the Almighty, even if it means death. Now, what I'd like to ask the audience is, are you there? Or are you compromising little things in your life right now? Because once you let any compromise come in, then once that door, that crack of that door opens, then it's a slow moving process toward allowing other things to move in, and the next thing you know, you find yourself out in left field with no anchor. And there are many people that I am personally acquainted with, brother, who are there. You talk to them about the Lord, and they want to change the subject and talk about their work or something else. And that ought not be the way it is. The disciples were excited, they were on fire, and we ought to have a fire in us, especially as we see this day approaching. Here in our midst, as we see the very players and positioning of the beast coming together through the World Bank, the IMF, the International Court of Criminal Appeals, all of the international players, the G20 group, the global agenda for 2030, all of this stuff means something, and it's high time we take our head out of the sand and take a look, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Steve. Why don't you go ahead and give your website, and then we'll come back. And then we're going to come back, folks. We're going to come back in an hour and talk with Steve again. So go ahead and give your website, and then I'll say goodbye to you, and then we'll come back in an hour.
Okay, brother. I just want to close with a scripture that says that we need to put on the whole armor of God and be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, in the power of his might. The website is SherwoodProphecy.org. And may the Lord bless you and all that you do.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. We'll talk again in a little while. All right, folks. Thanks, Steve, and we'll talk again. All right, folks. That's a powerful message, and I'm serious about that. I want you to go and email me. I'd really like to know, you know, if you're a faith-based church, you know, and it's not into compromise and everything, send me an email. You know, I'd like to know. You could even, if you're one of these Facebook pages and you're one of my Facebook followers or however that works, because I got a bunch of them, people I don't really even know, but I assume that they got a hold of me because of radio. So, therefore, folks, you can send me, heads up on Facebook or something. I'd just like to hear from you. I want to know if you're in a good place. So, you know, watch it. I'll mention the statistics on radio later. You can do it now or you can do it later, but we'll be back in an hour. But remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, what? Always be a blessing to others. That's what? Always, always, always. How can you be saved and not be a blessing to others? I just don't understand that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will be no real peace until he does return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.